Hey, this is Jeremy Cummings. I'm the host here at Cummings' Culture, and I want to share something really special with you today. I want to share with you Ashley Maven and her incredible program, Joy Rising. Now, I know what you're thinking. Another program, another coach. But let me stop you right there. Ashley just isn't another coach. She's an emotional freedom and success coach who's changing lives. Ashley's Joy Rising program isn't about giving you empty promises and quick fixes. It's about giving you every opportunity to have real transformation in your life. And trust me, I've seen it firsthand. This isn't some cookie cutter program where you're just another number to get somebody paid. No, this is about you and your journey and your success and your joy, because Ashley Maven is dedicated to helping real people like you achieve real results. And let me tell you, I'm just not the host of Cummings' Culture. No, I'm a joy riser. Thanks to Ashley's guidance and support, I've experienced all of these things. So if you're ready to experience true emotional freedom and unlock the joy within you, and you want to check this out, then go to www.ashleymaven.com today. Don't let another day go by feeling stuck or unfulfilled. Join the Joy Rising movement and discover the life you were meant to live. Are you a parent worried about the influences of public school on your child? Are you concerned they might encounter beliefs that contradict your own? Do overcrowded classrooms leave you anxious about your child's individual attention? Then we may have a solution for you. Faith Prep Academy is redefining education with an innovative model built on the belief that every student is a unique creation of God. They understand that each child possesses distinct talents, gifts, and passions, and they're dedicated to nurturing those qualities while providing a solid academic foundation. At Faith Prep, they offer faith-based education rooted in Christian values. Individualized attention. Say goodbye to overcrowded classrooms. And a nurturing environment. Are you ready to learn more? Then click the link in the description of this podcast episode to discover how Faith Prep Academy can provide the quality education and values-aligned environment your child deserves. Don't let the worries about public school hold you back. Join Faith Prep Academy and empower your child today.
Cummings is Culture Podcast. Live show. Live show that says you'll hear about Jesus. You'll hear about politics. You'll hear about sports. And you'll even hear about farts. Now, this is my kind of show. You're now tuned in to the bearded fat man who's bringing sexy back. Live from Alabama, you're listening to Cummings is Culture. Now, here he is in all of his glory, the best-looking fat man alive, Jeremy Cummings.
Welcome to Cummings' Culture, and today we have a different type of episode. And that intro you heard, you'll hear about Jesus. Well, today, that's what you're going to hear about. How many of you out there, and I would imagine it would be a very large number, have read about the miracles in the Bible, and you may be one of those people that say, hey, I need a miracle. And you may have come across some religious leaders that tell you that, these miracles just don't happen anymore. Well, there are people out there who have claimed to have been healed by God. And there are people who claim to see healings weekly. And today we have one of those people on the show. Ladies and gentlemen, let's bring her up. Stephanie, how are you?
Hi, good. How are you?
Oh, I'm great. So for those of you, because there's going to be a lot of people that don't know you from the Cummings is Culture world, but there's plenty of people that know you from your TikTok account. You have several hundred thousand followers over there. But to the people that don't know you, would you give a brief introduction of you and who you are and what you do over on TikTok and your social media accounts?
Sure. So my name is Stephanie, and I basically just have an account where I pray for people. I usually post prayers every day for various needs that people may have. I post prayers for the Lord to meet people uniquely in whatever way that they need Him to meet them and to do miracles in their life.
Now, you say that you post these prayers daily for the Lord to do these miracles. Now, you yourself are what you call, when what many would call, a walking miracle. Is that correct?
Yeah.
If you would you go into a little bit of detail about how, what happened and how you say that God healed you?
Sure. So I want to say 6 years ago, maybe it's been longer now. I think it was around 2018. And, I came, I kind of thought I was coming down with something, and I had like some issues with my throat, and it started to become like really uncomfortable over the course of maybe a couple of weeks, and I knew that something was wrong. So I ended up getting diagnosed with a stomach disease that was like pushing acid and bile like into my throat, and it was just like kind of a general, it was like a guess of a diagnosis. It's not like I had any tests done or anything. It just was like, based on your symptoms, it looks like you have this broad type of range of stomach disease. And so as time went on, it never got better. It only got worse. And to the point, like my medication wasn't working for me. It wasn't helping me. And my esophagus started to erode. And so at that point, also my stomach was no longer emptying itself. And I would say I never got diagnosed again with a different disease, but I would say all of the symptoms of like gastroparesis is what I had. And so because I wasn't digesting food, I also wasn't really eating, and I had a hard time swallowing food because I had like a kind of a stricture in my esophagus. Like it was ulcerative. Like it was just obliterated. So I stopped my medication just because I felt like in my inner knowing, I just felt like the medication wasn't doing any good, and it may have actually been making things worse. And so I just felt like I should get off of it. I prayed about it a lot. And I finally ended up getting off my medication against the advice of several doctors. And I was just like so fearful all the time that I started to get paranoid, you know, like about everything. I started to become kind of a hypochondriac about things. And I just decided, you know what, I'm not even going to listen to doctors. I'm not even going to go back to my doctor. And I'm just going to do this like 100% on faith. And so I started to really pray about things because I was so fearful all the time that all I could think about was like, well, this is getting worse. I can't eat anything. I'm losing weight. I'm paranoid all the time about every kind of disease that's out there that could now possibly affect me. And I'm starting to become like just fearful of death every day. And So at that point, I just decided I had been going to church for like, you know, 15 years or something. And I was like, you know, the God of the Bible, like he healed people, you know, he did miracles. And I believe in that. But now that I'm faced with a sickness and I'm fearful all the time and I can't stop thinking about death, I'm like, it kind of revealed to me like that I had no faith in the God that that I was learning about, you know, for so long. It's like, now that I have a disease and I need God, I'm struggling to believe that he could do that for me. And so what I decided is, you know what, this is like a faith crisis for me. So either I'm going to believe God is who he says he is, or I'm going to not believe God and I'm going to throw away my Bible and I'm going to stop going to church. Because what's the use in me sitting in a service every weekend and pretending when in my core, I can't apply this to my life, you know, in a sense. And I wasn't literally going to abandon my whole faith, but I just thought this is the time to really put it to the test, because I do believe that God's word is true. And I do believe that God is who he says he is. And I believe that if we put his word to the test, it won't fail. And but what I had been doing prior to that was not really putting it to the test, not really standing on it. I just was out of control with fear, basically, and panicking. And so so basically, that's what I did. I started to like devour scriptures about healing. And first, what I needed to do for myself was figure out really what the Bible said, and if there was any way that I was wrong about what I believed the Bible said. So I started to study almost from a place of like devil's advocate, where I was like, well, I believe God's the healer, but maybe there's scriptures in there that say that he isn't, and I'm totally wrong, you know? But the more I really did a deep, deep dive, the more scriptures I found that were so encouraging about healing. And so at one point I did come across a scripture at kind of the challenge of a friend. She came to me and she said, you know, God didn't heal everyone. There was, you know, a bunch of people at this pool of Bethesda, and Jesus only healed one man and then he left, and all the rest of the people, he left them sick, and we don't know whatever happened to them. And so I was like, okay. And in my mind, I'm like, well, you know, there was an angel at the pool, and that angel was healing people, you know, by stirring up the water. And so he didn't totally leave them defenseless or hopeless or anything. But that one man who couldn't get up to get into the pool, he healed him. And so, but I still paid attention to what she said. And I went home and I asked the Lord about it. And I was like, okay, God, you know, this is what she's saying. I can't argue with that. It's a good point. You know, well, what do you say about it, Lord? And he said, you know, basically, let's say you found the exception in scripture. This is how the Lord spoke it back to me. It was like, you found the exception, but what's the rule? And at that point, I had read all of these stories and all of these amazing testimonies of how Jesus healed every person who came to him. And so I said, well, the rule is you healed everyone who came to you. And he said, okay, so which one are you going to be? And he challenged me to basically decide, are you going to be the one who gets healed or not? Like, are you going to believe that you're the rule or the exception? And so I was like, I'm going to be the rule. You know, like I just decided, I was like, this is an invitation from God that he's giving me a choice and I'm going to choose. And in scripture, it talks about, you know, behold, I put before you life and death, choose life, you know? And so he wasn't going to force it on me, but I think he was kind of baiting me, almost like drawing out in me that fire that I have in me to live and to take him at his word in my heart, like deep down, I did have faith. Like, I at least know that God loves me and he's my father. And my father in heaven does not want me to be sick. And so he doesn't want me to be tormented. He doesn't want me to be living in fear. He doesn't want me to be fearing death, you know, all these things. And so that kind of got me off the fence of like my own wavering and into faith. And from there, I walked with God. Not everything like instantly, miraculously happened. But from there, I walked with God and I really renewed my mind. And it was like one day I just walked into healing. It was so weird how it happened. There's literally no explanation for it except for that the Lord did what he said that he was going to do. And so, yep, I've never had a problem since then. There was one, I think there was maybe one small moment where I started to feel a little bit of a symptom. And I just told it to leave. I was like, nope, I know that the Lord healed me and nothing can take that away from me. And so,
well, you know, Kenneth Hagin actually had a story very similar. And his was, you know, of course, he was paralyzed in the bed and had a heart disease and had an incurable blood disease. And they was giving him up to, you know, to just die. And he said that several years had passed. And I have a book. I have several books of Kenneth Hagin. But he had said that several years had passed and that the symptoms, even though he was supposed to die at the age of 15 or 16 years old, wasn't supposed to, you know, ever be past the age of 20, was never, ever supposed to have children, was never supposed to be able to work or preach or do any of those things. But yet he was out doing them, and he said that God had healed him. He said that he said something very similar to you of many years down the line or a few years down the line that he would be laying in bed and then his heart would start trying to bring on a symptom of what he used to have. Yeah, that made me think of that. But now for all of the people that are out there that hear this and they're skeptical, of course, because we have, of course, I personally believe in healing. I've seen it, been part of it, all of that. But, you know, there are people out there that are going to church, that are sitting in pews and their pastor's telling them that these things have passed away. Do you feel like that's just a cop out for a lack of faith on the minister's part?
Yes, I do. I also think it's a misunderstanding. You know, I think that just like me, like I knew things in my brain that I had read in scripture. I knew that God is the healer in my brain. And I had seen him do some things. Like I really have seen him heal other people too, you know, not just me, even before I got sick. And so I had seen a little bit, and I had seen somebody pray for someone and like their leg grew out, you know, like in front of my eyes. And actually at that point, I had prayed for someone's leg and their leg grew out. But it was when I was like such a baby in the whole like miraculous world. And I had a mentor like for a very short time where he was showing me. He was my introduction to like, you literally can just pray and someone could get healed if you believe it. And I was like, what? I thought that was for some kind of like faith healer, anointed person, spiritual guru. And I watched him and he was very solid in the word of God. He knew the word of God. He was a pastor. He had gone to seminary. And he's like, I learned more in praying for people on the street than I have ever learned in seminary. And I didn't understand what he was talking about. Now I get it, because everything that he learned in school was in his brain. What he had to do was experience it for himself in order to realize, like, this is real. Now my heart knows it. B, I'm experiencing the Lord working through my life. And now I'm seeing, actually, it's very common. It's very easy. And this man, literally, he just, he developed such a childlike faith after just kind of stepping out in praying for people, you know? And so I would say that you do kind of have to have an encounter with the Lord. Like, in order to, I understand being skeptical, because in order to get things from what you've heard, what you've even seen on social media and your brain experience, in order to get from that experience in your brain to actually experiencing it in your own life, there has to be an encounter somewhere in there with God. And so I guess I would say, like, I would even challenge God. Like, I challenged God. He wants us to stand on his word, and it's okay to test it, you know? And so for me, like I said, I didn't get healed immediately after I started to believe. I believed first, and I started kind of walking in this like blind faith almost, where it's like, I don't know why I'm convinced of this. I've seen so much in scripture, and I'm really asking the Lord. And it was like this inner knowing, like, I just really believe he's going to heal me. And I think I had faith for a gradual miracle, and that's why it didn't happen instantly. I think if I believed, like, I'm already healed right now, you know what I mean? Then I think it would have manifested that way. But he works in accordance with our faith, you know, a lot of times. And so I would say that if you're not seeing it, or you're skeptical about people who are, I totally understand. And God and his word are meant to be encountered and experienced, not just heard about, talked about. You know, the kingdom of God is not in word, it's in power, you know? And so these words that are in this book, like, we need to see them in action sometimes, you know? And for me, I was experiencing them not in the miracle instantly, but I was experiencing these words coming alive and coming real on the inside of my heart. And that is a whole other power encounter, you know? And so I would say it's okay. It's okay to test God's word. It's okay to be skeptical, you know? Thomas was skeptical, and Jesus showed up for him and said, okay, you're not going to believe unless you can touch my scars and my wounds. Then here I am. And he showed him physically. And so I'm not going to come down on anybody, or like, you're not my enemy if you don't believe me. You're not, you know, I don't think you're stupid or anything if you don't believe. I think that it's something that you do have to experience in order to believe and understand. Otherwise, it will just be in your brain, and it'll be something you've witnessed from afar, but it won't be real for you personally.
Yeah. And when you were talking earlier, you were talking about, I went to this doctor, I got this medicine, it didn't work, things got worse. Have you ever looked at the parallel? Like, we know that God doesn't change, right? He says it in his word, I'm the Lord and I change not. Okay. Looking at yourself, and then you go look at the woman with the issue of blood, and it says in the Bible, she went to many doctors and physicians, and she grew none better, but she only got worse. Have you drawn that parallel to yourself and her? Was that one of the things that when you read that, like, later on, did you see the how he didn't change? Like, the thing, like, you get what I'm trying to get at?
That God didn't change?
Yeah, the parallel of your story and hers, even though it was a different disease, like, mm-hmm. you know, like, she had the issue of blood. And for those of you that don't know what the issue of blood is, look it up. It's when a woman has a baby and, you know, there's complications and things like that. And back then they didn't have the technology or the medicine that we have now to deal with those things. And so when a woman got those things, she just suffered, and they put her away, and she was unclean, and she lived a life that was a living hell on earth pretty much, because she wasn't able to have anything to do with anybody. So mm-hmm. this was really that is one of the miracles that Jesus did in the Bible that I don't feel like gets talked about enough, because her life was hell. and your life essentially was hell because you couldn't eat.
Mm-hmm. And I love food.
Yeah. I mean, who doesn't love food? I mean, look here.
Yeah.
I mean,
No, there was, you know, what's interesting about that you're even bringing this up. This is so funny. I feel like this is totally God that you're bringing this up, because that from the moment I read that story years and years ago, when I first came to Christ, when I first was reading the Bible for the first time, it's not like I was raised in church, you know?
Yeah.
So I knew nothing, and I was reading the Gospels, you know, and I came across that story, and I remember from that moment, from the moment I read that story, it always, there was something about it that always, it was my favorite story for the longest time, the woman with the issue of blood. And now I understand why, because yes, I believe the Lord had planted that in me from so long ago, because there's something about that woman and me that is in common. And it's and it's something that I believe is in every person, but the circumstances will sometimes have to bring it out of you. And it is her tenacity. See, you mentioned she had to be put away because back in that culture, like there was like kind of like the law where it was, she would be unclean and anyone who touched her would be unclean because she had been bleeding. So it's not like she was allowed to be in public touching people. And yet she, that lady broke the law and pushed through an entire crowd of people, which was like, that was a no-no. It's like, you can't, you're not allowed to do that. But she did not ask permission. She risked everything. And she did not ask permission from the people around her or from Jesus. She didn't do it a proper way. She stole that healing. Unbeknownst to everybody, she said, I'm going to, if I have to crawl through this crowd, like I will grab this garment and I'm getting my healing today. And that tenacity, see, when Jesus turned around, he was like, your faith healed you. That tenacity, he made that equal to faith, and he was pleased with it. And so some people would say that my testing God's word and saying, why should I read this Bible if it doesn't come alive, if it's not true? This is the living word of God. It's alive. It's active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It's powerful. But then when I need the power in it, it doesn't happen. Like, people would say that that's disrespectful for me to challenge God like that, or to challenge the word of God like that and say, what am I doing sitting in this church? What am I doing reading this Bible that I don't really see it coming alive in my life, right? People would say that's disrespectful. You just gotta deal with the hand that you've been dealt, right? Like, and God's just in control and he's sovereign. And it's like, that's not what that lady did. She didn't sit around passive waiting to be healed of the issue of blood, bleeding to death. She didn't do that and saying, your will be done, God. She didn't do that. She heard a rumor, most likely, because in earlier chapters, you'll read that wasn't the first time that somebody touched his garment and power came out from him, right? So she possibly heard a rumor of this man. She possibly heard about what could happen in his presence. Maybe didn't even know who he really was fully, but she's like, I'm going to go and see for myself and I'm going to get what I came for. Maybe she didn't care about him. Maybe she just wanted the healing, you know, and she still got it. And so I'm not saying like, Lord, I want your hand. I want your miracles, but I don't want you. I had been serving God, you know what I mean? For all those years, that doesn't qualify me and it doesn't disqualify me. You know what I mean? But it's freely that we have been given, freely we receive, you know, and it's not because I deserve the healing. It's not because that lady deserved it. We know that because she wasn't doing things right, you know, but Jesus had compassion and he cares, you know, and he came to set the captives free. And I don't know, now that I have experienced sickness, I don't know anything that makes you feel like you are more in prison than when your sickness takes over your life and it's everything has to revolve around it. That's totally jail. Like, you know what I mean? That's like a prison of your body, you know, where every single thing I did, it was in working around my stomach disease, everything. And I thought about quitting my job too. I had like a thriving business at the time. And I thought about like, just, you know what, it's just, I'm just going to have to give everything up, you know?
Yeah.
And thank God it didn't go that far, but.
And see, that was me too. Like, I had gotten to the point, like, I haven't really talked about it publicly on here, but like, I had gotten to the point where anxiety had crippled me so bad that I was just a shut-in. Like, I couldn't. Like, I look at myself now and the things I do and I'm like, buddy, you go like, you're back. And it's like, you didn't think that you could get back there. Like, you thought that it was over. And it's like, you know, like, there's people that are out there that are struggling with the exact same things that you and I are discussing today. And they hear us, they see us. And they're like, well, God must love them more. And I know that they're saying it because I used to, when Mike, you and Mike and, is it Jocelyn?
Mm-hmm.
Is she going to be there in Nashville? What's the date?
I think so. The 23rd. Yeah.
The 23rd of March this month, y'all are going to be in Nashville at the Opry Mills Mall.
Yeah.
Praying with people, seeing these miracles, all of these things. And if you're in the Nashville area, of course, go. What's the time?
I think it's 12 to 3, so noon to 3.
Noon to 3, the 23rd of March at the Opry Mills Mall in Nashville, Tennessee. If you're around there, go. Like, I used to, you know, Michael, I used to see Michael on live, and how I got in contact with Michael was my grandpa was sick. And so I asked Mike to pray for my grandpa one time. And then, you know, my grandpa died several years later, but he did die. And I was angry, very, very angry at God. And I didn't understand that we had a will, like the things that you were talking about. The woman who had the issue of blood, she went through that crowd and she touched Jesus, even though it was breaking all the law. She did it, but that was her will. And through her faith, she willed herself through there and she got her healing. Well, I didn't understand at the time that we had a will and that my grandpa was sitting there and he was saying, listen, I just want to die. I just want to go to heaven. And like, he was saying his will over and over again. So I was angry at God. I was angry at Mike. I'd see people go in there and they'd say they get healed. And I was like, you're full of crap. I grew up in church and all of that. And then like you were talking about, you don't know, like you can't talk about it until you have the full blown experience of it. And like, I was a skeptic. I grew up in church. I was raised a Pentecostal. I was raised, you know, that all of these had all this religious doctrine put into me from the time I was born. And like, you know, I had heard of it in churches, but we had gotten to the point in the Pentecostal church where we didn't see this stuff anymore. It was just like a days of old thing, like something that was talked about that happened 30 years ago. So now, like the 23rd, y'all are doing this at the Opry Mills Mall in Nashville, Tennessee, from 12 to 3 for all of you out there. And are you wanting people to just come experience it?
Yeah, absolutely. And it's meant to be experienced. The power of God, the kingdom of God, when Jesus would heal people, he would say sometimes, like, the kingdom of God has come near to you today. You know, like I said, the kingdom of God, it's not in word, it's in power. And look, if I pray for someone and they don't get healed, like, it's not on God. I'm not going to blame God. I'm not going to blame the person who came to me, you know, but it's according to our faith, let it be done unto us. You know, it's as a man believes. And there's a lot of factors, you know, in everything, but I'm just saying, like, scripture says, lay hands on the sick and they will recover. if that doesn't happen, like, I'm a human, you know what I mean? At the same time, like, I'm a daughter of God, but I'm also, I'm flawed in some ways. And so, but many times when we, especially in unity, when we're laying hands on people, they do recover. These signs, they follow those who believe, you know? And so if we believe and we lay hands, scripture says you will recover.
Let me ask you, there's like all of these, like the people that you see these, like I've seen a video of you and Gene out in public doing these. And the, what was it? It was a lady with her leg, right?
Yeah, she had like a knee surgery, I think, or several, and it was still really hurting her.
Yeah, I've seen that one. I've seen the video of Mike, the viral video of him and the atheist woman, or what I think she was an atheist. Her friend held the jar and was like, you know, the Acts 19 jar. People don't know about Acts chapter 19. That's where God did many miracles through Paul, and these people that Paul couldn't get to and lay hands on, they brought cloths and Paul prayed over them and they took them and they healed and they laid the cloths on them and they were healed. And God did all these miracles, and it's not, it wasn't Paul, it was God doing it. But so Mike did that with the woman with the jar, had the locked shoulder. If you haven't seen that, go to his TikTok page. It's still up there. You've seen these. Have you ran into the people, and you upload constantly, every day, these prayers? Sometimes I've seen you upload testimony. Mike, of course, uploads testimonies of people and stuff that they do out in public. How do you handle the people that come at you and they say, well, if you're doing this, and how come you don't go do it at the hospital?
Yeah, I have heard that before. I don't know if anyone has told me that before, probably on a live video. Yeah, they probably have. But actually, I have gone to the hospitals and I have gone to pray. It's not so easy to just get clearance to go in there all the time. Now, when I was living in California, I would go with another person who had clearance. He always, I don't know how he did this, maybe he was the chaplain or something, but a group of us would go with him because he always had clearance to go. And he was well known in the community. So if he went to various hospitals, it was usually because he was asked to be there by someone whose family member was in the hospital or whatever. And so, yeah, I would go. I would love to. I've actually thought about getting like, what is it called? Like your chaplain's license or whatever, like going and getting educated just so I could have clearance to go in there. It's a dream. Like I really want to do it, you know, more, but I can't always get in there, you know?
Yeah. And when you went in there, you've seen stuff, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Even during COVID. So this is interesting. During COVID, we were not allowed to go, even family, we couldn't go and see them. And so, during that time, we would get on the phone with people. And more so, I would say Jody did this a lot more than me, Jody and Gene. And I wasn't with them at the time. I wasn't ministering with them at the time yet. But they would get just on all these phone calls because they couldn't get into the hospitals. And people would get free from, like they would be on the breathing tube or whatever, like fully
the ventilator.
And they would get free where they could start breathing on their own. Like the machines are beeping and everything. And, you know, people are coming in to help them because they just answered the phone call or whatever, or somebody put the phone next to their bed. So I saw my own mom almost passed away. She got COVID. She was in the hospital and it looked like they had that under control. Like it seemed like that wasn't the biggest problem. But what happened was, is she also had another type of health issue happen that we didn't know about. And they discovered it once she got there. And I think it was something with her heart and her lungs, like she had blood clots. And so they gave her all this like blood thinner stuff. Well, she all of a sudden starts like bleeding internally. Like she had a hemorrhage. It was like a hematoma or something. And it was so horrible. This was like the worst day of my life. She calls me, or my sister had like three-wayed us into a call. And my mom is screaming. Like, it sounds like she's getting tortured. And she can't do anything but scream at the top of her lungs. And I'm starting to get angry. Like, why did you even get me on this phone call? Like, I was kind of mad. Like, I can't take this emotionally. Like, I was just like, I was crumbling. And I start praying for her. I'm like rebuking things, praying for things. I'm like so angry. And it seems like nothing's happening. Well, I really thought, we all thought she was going to die. My mom thought she was dying, and she could have. And that night, I remember I had a dream even that basically like it wasn't going to go good, like all this stuff. And I woke up in the morning like, Lord, what are you saying? What am I supposed to do here? Like, I've been standing. She made a huge miraculous recovery right before this, where they told her she wouldn't get out of the hospital for a month. And she was only in there for a couple days. And then the doctor's like, you might be able to get released tomorrow. Like, it was like a full turnaround, right? So I'm sitting here like rejoicing up until that phone call, you know, and thinking like, wow, like the Lord did a miracle, you know. Now I'm faced with my mom's literally going to die. Like, they're not containing it. No one's doing anything. Like, it was like crunch time. And my mom's friend calls me telling me, you need to make sure you say goodbye. You need to tell your mom it's okay for her to let go. And she's holding on, but you need to make sure she knows she can let go and we'll see her in heaven. And I was like, absolutely not. I'm like, to live. Like, I know her. She has a will to live, and I'm going to let her have it. I'm going to let her keep her will to live. No. And I'm like, I kind of rejected that, you know? So I go to bed. I'm like praying in the morning when I wake up. I barely slept, woke up super early, prayed in the morning. I called the Andrew Womack hotline. I'm like, can you guys pray with me? Like, I don't know. I'm messed up in my faith right now. Like, I'm emotional, don't know what to do. And they're like, wait a minute. She almost got out of the hospital, and then this new thing happened. And I'm like, yeah. And they're like, now's the time to stand even more in faith, you know? And I was like, oh. And it just gave me that little like punch, like that direction of prayer, you know, how to pray. And I was like, oh, you're right. And they're like, now's not the time to give up. Like, now's the time to fight even more. And so that's what I did. I just all day, that whole day, I was like, okay, like we already saw the Lord do a miracle and she was about to come home. And so I started to pray that the Lord, this was around Thanksgiving, I started to pray that the Lord would allow her to come home by Thanksgiving. That was like a couple of days, like, you know what I mean, away. But I was like, no, I really want her to come home. And she literally came home on Thanksgiving. Like, it was a full turnaround. I remember talking to the doctor and they're like, actually, no, like it's a full turnaround. She's doing really good, actually. Like, we got everything contained. And I was like, okay. And so anyway, that's just one example, but it was a very big, like, it felt like such a mountain to me. And so, and especially just how it all happened, there's a lot of details and the Lord worked in every single one of them. And it was a cool thing that God did.
Yeah. It's like my grandpa, they said that he wasn't going to get to come home one time. And I was like, nah, he's coming home Christmas. And they're like, nah, he's not. And I'm like, yeah, he's coming home Christmas. And they're like, no, he's not. And he's like, you don't understand. He's really sick. And I'm like, no, he's coming home Christmas. And they're like, okay, whatever. And they're like, don't talk to that fool. And so we're sitting there, and then Christmas Eve, he comes home. And so like that next Easter, he was feeling really, really bad. And they were like, I was like, oh, you're going to church tomorrow. You're going to church with us on Easter. And he was like, but I'm sick. And I'm like, okay, but you're going to take a bath tomorrow and you're going to feel really, really good. And you're going to want to go to church. And so we left him, and we didn't think he was coming because he was feeling really, really bad. And apparently while we were gone, he just started feeling all right. And he got up and he went in there and he took a shower and he's like, you know what? I'm going to church. And so we turn around and I look, and there he comes walking in through the back door. And so like, you know, like, yeah, look, he's in church. And like, you said he wouldn't be. And of course, you know, later on he did pass on, but you know, like I said, he was wanting to, like he was done. Like he knew that he was done, like everything. And it was more difficult for me than it was for him, I think. You know, it was like, no, I want to keep you here. And that's the selfishness of us. You know, I seen that personally. To the people that are out there that are needing something, that are like, hey, you know, I'm at the end of my rope. You're saying that you got healed. Of course, you have prayed for me before, and you've seen things that were, and you've prayed for me and others. And the people that are on the Cummings is Culture, her TikTok handle is @StephMarieEL. If you want to get a hold of her. Now, what do? They just leave comments over there?
Yeah, it's a little easier for me to get to comments than messages. So if somebody wants to leave a comment, of course, you know, I can make a prayer video for you. Or I can just, if you want to leave like an unspoken prayer request, I can pray for you in my private time, whatever you're comfortable with.
Yeah. Mike does, what's today? Today's Friday, right? Today's Friday. Okay. Yeah. I got my day. Today's Fertility Friday.
Yeah.
Today's his day. He does Fertility Fridays. I actually, before you were, while I was waiting on you, I was in his live and I was like, he was like, what are you doing? You know, I was like, I'm waiting on Stephanie. So, but yeah, you've seen a lot. And there's people that are still that of course are going to be skeptical, because you know we live in the current age of cell phones and cameras everywhere and video everywhere, and they're like, well, I don't see it. Like, how come if y'all are seeing all this stuff, then how come you know we don't see it? Well, March 23rd, 2024, Opry Mills Mall, Nashville, Tennessee, from 12 to 3. Go see it, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Stephanie, I don't have anything else unless you want to talk about something else. Unless you got something you want to promote. You want to promote your YouTube channel in case they take TikTok now?
Yeah. I guess it could be banned. My YouTube is the same as my TikTok handle is StephMarieEL.
Yeah. They got a bill that unanimously passed yesterday. The Senate, maybe, I can't remember. It was either House or the Senate, and it includes if ByteDance doesn't sell TikTok, then it's going to be banned. So anyway, Stephanie, thank you for your time and sharing your testimony with all these people over here on Cummings is Culture.
You're welcome. Do you want me to pray for people right now? Pray us out?
Yeah, pray us out.
Okay. Lord, I just thank you, God, for each person listening right now, each person under the sound of my voice. I thank you, God, for stretching out your hand now to touch your people, to touch the ones who are hurting, the ones who need healing right now. I thank you, God, for stretching forth your hand to touch them in the name of Jesus. And everything that is not from God, that is on their life, that's attacking their body, I command it to leave right now in Jesus' name. I speak healing and life to every person in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. All right, Stephanie, thank you. Hey, if you didn't like what you heard here today, get over it, you snowflake, because it ain't controversial. It's just culture.
Mm-hmm.
Need something to listen to that's family friendly? Well, I've got the show for you. It's the Old Man's Podcast, live every morning, rain, shine, and this old man is not the one that's snoring because he's up bright and early to entertain you. 7 a.m. Pacific, 9 a.m. Central, 10 o'clock Eastern. The Old Man's Podcast, streaming live exclusively over on Podbean. Hey, everybody out there. I want to thank every one of you for tuning in live over on Podbean. Of course, the live video is up over on Rumble. It's on YouTube, and it's even available on Facebook. That's right. You can go watch Cummings' Culture in three different locations. This particular episode, it's there. It's ad-free over on Facebook. I'm not sure about YouTube and Rumble. But anyway, I want to thank everybody who listens and downloads this episode. Remember, March 23rd, Nashville, Tennessee, from 12 to 3 at the Opry Mills Mall. They'll be having their live event there. So if you're in the area, make sure you go. Make sure you take your phones and all you little skeptics out there. You find out, is it real? Does God heal? Until next time, we love you. We thank you for listening and downloading our episodes. And Eric, Mike is going to be our next guest that will appear from them, I'm pretty sure. So anyway, until next time, we thank you. Have a great weekend. And remember, if you didn't like what you heard here today, it ain't controversial. It's just culture, baby. It's just culture. Good night, everybody.